Shabbat Shalom. Chag Sameach. So good to be with you again, to share the word of the Lord and to share fellowship together. This morning I want us to look into the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, and then mostly in chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark is written to describe Yeshua as the suffering servant that Isaiah predicted would come. And as the suffering servant Messiah, Mark shows us a number of pictures of Yeshua and how he is bringing about the kingdom of God. And one of the beautiful things about the festivals that God has given us, Sukkot in particular, is that Sukkot has a futuristic aspect to it, that it's describing the fullness of the coming of the kingdom of God that is foreshadowed in the gospel as Yeshua walks on the earth and involves himself in people's lives, as Yeshua is God in flesh, tabernacling among us. And so as we look at these accounts in this chapter or so in Mark's gospel, we'll see Yeshua bringing in his kingdom and what his kingdom looks like and what we can anticipate for the future. And I think it gives us great hope and great encouragement. So we'll begin reading with Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pause for prayer. Father, as we consider this part of your word, open our eyes to see the glory of Yeshua and to see the glory of your kingdom, and bring us to a place of deeper and deeper love for you. In Yeshua's name, amen. So this beginning of these accounts, these pictures into Yeshua's ministry, on this particular occasion, Yeshua had finished some ministry and they were headed to the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee. They were headed to the eastern shore, and it would be primarily a Gentile region, the region of 10 cities that they would be going to. And Yeshua said to them, "Let's get into the boat. We're already in the boat. Let's go ahead and cross over to the other side." And as they began to do that, a terrible storm came up. And it was so terrible that these seasoned fishermen who knew this lake so well thought that they were going to lose their lives. And so in their thinking, we're dead men. And also in their thinking, they came to Yeshua to talk about this situation, and they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" I think as we look at all of these accounts, that little statement helps us crystallize the deepest longing of our hearts. I think it can be crystallized in three questions. The first question is, does God really know about us? Does he know us? Does he understand what we're experiencing and what we're going through? And the second question is, does he even care? Does he care about us? Does he care what happens to us, what's going on in our hearts and our minds? Does he care about our life, about our destiny? And then the third question is, can he do anything about it? Does he have any power to make a difference in our life? Those are the three deepest questions, I think, that we have. And those questions are crystallized here, and they will be answered here, and they will be answered in the next three stories that we will look at as well. And Yeshua responds to their question. He's asleep. Why is he sleeping? He's tired. And he's also resting in his Father. Yeshua is fully God in human flesh, and he's fully man as well. And as the perfect man, the perfect second Adam, he lived his life in perfect trust in the Father. And that's a picture of what he wants for you and I, that you and I can perfectly and completely trust our Father to take care of us at all times, regardless of what the circumstances look like. And so, in answer to their plea, Yeshua gets up and he rebukes the wind and he speaks to the sea and says, "Peace." And instantly, the wind ceases and the sea becomes calm. And then Yeshua comes and brings to these men the deepest question that he has. He is looking for people who will trust him, who will trust the Father. And he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And of course, they have followed him, and so they do have faith. But in this occasion, they did not apply their faith. And it reminds me of how frequently the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, had these same questions. In fact, that very night that they left Egypt, they went out, and then the Egyptian army followed them, and God led them to a place where they were up against the sea, and the Egyptian army was right behind them. And what did they say? They said, "Why did you bring us out here, Moses? Why did you bring us out here to be destroyed? Why did you bring us out here to be totally wiped out? It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt and serve the Egyptians." And of course, that is the talk of unbelief. Because God had said to Moses, "I see my people. I feel their hardship and slavery. And I am sending you to rescue them and to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey." And so God did intervene on that occasion. God sent a mighty wind and he parted the sea. And his very presence went behind his people and protected them from the oncoming army. And God led his people across on dry land. And God rescued his people that day, even as he rescued the disciples this night with Yeshua in the boat. And over we see in the scriptures that God has absolute power over all his creation. God can intervene in his creation. He can still the storm. He can cause the wind to cease. And he can rescue us when it looks like we're headed for drowning. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Of course, he is the Messiah. He is God in flesh. And he is someone that you and I can trust completely and thoroughly. Perhaps you've heard others speak about this text as I have, and they've made this little statement that when Yeshua is in the boat won't sink and the storm won't last forever. And that is true. Yeshua will take care of us. Yeshua cares. Yeshua is looking for faith and will help us to trust. And Yeshua has the power to make a difference. Well, after they get to the other side, they come in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, or the Gergesenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Yeshua from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Yeshua, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Yeshua gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Yeshua and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Yeshua did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And so he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Yeshua had done for him, and all marveled. And so after the stormy night and the calming of the sea, Yeshua and his disciples arrive at this land of the Gadarenes or Gergesenes. And immediately there is an encounter with a man who is possessed by evil spirits. And Yeshua begins to deliver this man from these evil spirits. Our world is more than we can see. Any person who lives only on what can be seen is not living according to reality. Reality is that there are unseen realities and entities that you and I must deal with. And the greatest of these is, of course, God Himself. But there is an evil realm, evil spirits, the devil, and his demons that are also at work in this world. And this story, this account, helps us to see that there are not balanced good and evil in our world, but rather God is in charge and good is greater than evil. There is not balance of forces here. Good is greater and God is greater. And God has power over the evil spirits in this world that would seek to undo and harm us. And this account helps us to see very, very clearly the intention of evil spirits. And I think that that can really help us in the area when we're tempted in some way to follow the suggestions of the evil one. Temptation will come at us with such force and such power. And yet, if you and I will take a moment and allow the Spirit of God to speak to us and help us see where that is leading, what is the end result? I once read a story about how truth and error can sound so good at first, but then when you see where they both lead, it becomes more and more obvious. It's very much like the Continental Divide on our continent. The continental divide is that place in the North American continent that determines which direction the snow melt goes. On this side, it goes into the Pacific Ocean. On this side, it goes into the Atlantic. And yet, if there's snow at the very point of the continental divide, it looks very close to being similar or the same. But over time, they go to two totally opposite and different places. So it is, as we look carefully at the good God who is revealed to us in Yeshua the Messiah, and as we look at the forces of evil, where do they lead? Now, we are not given details about this man. We don't know how he became possessed by so many evil forces, so many evil entities. And in some ways, that is a great encouragement, because Yeshua doesn't deal with that at all. You and I can get ourselves into some terrible messes. We can make some awful choices. And we can give the evil one some terrible footholds in our lives. And yet, in his mercy and his love, Yeshua comes to us and he says, "We'll just leave that in the past. I can help you right now. I can rescue you." And he came to this man who had made these terrible choices and had resulted in his life becoming enslaved. And if you notice, what is the evil one working in this man's life? He's working all manner of uncleanness. He's disturbed and he's tormented. There's no peace in this man's life. He is a social outcast. The people have driven him away because he can't live in community. And he's also self-tormented, self-destructive. He's trying to hurt himself. I think he's trying to get relief from the evil. And yet he finds himself powerless. All of this is going on. That is the way that the evil one leads. The evil one isolates. The evil one inflicts torment. The evil one robs of peace. The evil one brings in self-hatred. Have you experienced those things? Yeshua comes to rescue from all of that, to bring restoration, to bring life, to bring healing, to bring deliverance. Yeshua says to this man, he tries to find out what's going on in this man's life, and he's reaching into his personality to bring it back out. And he says, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit. And what is your name?" And they beg him that he would not send them out of the country. And so Yeshua gives them permission to go into this herd of pigs. You see that? Yeshua has the power to send the demons out, and he has the power to tell them where they're going to go. He has absolute, total, sovereign, complete power over the evil one. And on this occasion, he permits them to go into the pigs. And I think it's a visible object lesson for this man and the whole community to see what is the intention of these evil spirits. It is ultimately destruction. The goal of the evil one is to destroy our lives, to ruin the image of God, and to get at God through us. And Yeshua comes to bring rescue and deliverance, to restore life, to bring us to a healthy self-love, to bring us to a healthy self-image, to bring us to peace, and to bring us back into social, good, healthy relationships, and most of all, to a relationship with himself. And this man sees these pigs go running down the hill, and they're going crazy, and they go down the hill, and they drown in this lake. And this man realizes that he really is set free. Evil forces, one of the things that they do is they deceive. And so they can play tricks on our minds. And that's why this word is so important, this objective word of God and the Spirit of God who helps us understand his word, that we can see truth, that we can see reality, that we can understand how to think and be enabled to think by the Spirit of God. And so the conclusion of this man the townspeople come, and this man, they see him. And what has happened? This man who could not be bound by anyone is sitting calmly bound by the love of Yeshua, sitting at his feet, listening to what Yeshua has to say. This man is clothed. This man is able to relate to people again. There's peace in his life, and there's rescue, and there's deliverance. And this man is so captivated by Yeshua, and in these brief moments that he's known him, he has so fallen in love with him that he wants to go with him. And Yeshua, in his wise ways, according to the Father, says, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion, or how he has had mercy on you. And that's what he did. And he began to proclaim in all of the area, the Decapolis, the 10 cities of that area, primarily Gentile area, he began to proclaim the word of God. And Yeshua, as the Messiah King, the suffering servant of the Lord, gave us a glimpse of what he would plan for his kingdom, that it would include not just Jew, but also Gentile. As he left this missionary of his to give witness in these 10 cities. And so this glorious man, this man that was gloriously touched by Messiah, is brought to peace and life and wholeness and well-being. All that is embodied in the word shalom has come into this man's life through Yeshua. And that is what Yeshua does for you and I. He brings us wholeness, rescue, freedom, restoration. If any person is in Yeshua, he is a new creation. He and she is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. That doesn't mean that there aren't things for us to work through. There are things that may take much time for us to work through, but we're headed on a trajectory of life and rescue and fullness and shalom. After this encounter, in verse 21, then Yeshua crosses over by boat to the other side, to go back to the other side of the lake. And it says in verse 22, behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, his name is Jairus by name, and when he saw him, Yeshua, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Yeshua went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So in the synagogue, there were normally 2 leaders. There was one that was responsible for the spiritual content, the instruction and worship, and there was one who was responsible for the administrative aspect of things. Jairus, it seems, was a ruler, probably responsible for the instruction and worship part of things. And he came and he'd heard of Yeshua, and this was probably from the town of Capernaum. And he came to Yeshua, and in humility he bowed at his feet and begged him to come, because his 12-year-old daughter was sick and near death. And we see here that Yeshua is willing to come, that he's willing to have compassion on us. He cares about us. He's willing to be involved in our lives. And he's willing to go with this man and to touch his daughter and to bring healing. And there's a big multitude that's going with them. And so Yeshua and this multitude and Jairus are headed off to meet with his daughter and to bring healing there. But in the midst of that, in verse 25, something happens. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Yeshua, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Yeshua, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." You and I, as we walk through life, often see encounters like this as interruptions. I had a friend one time who said Yeshua's ministry was a ministry of interruptions, and yet he never viewed them as interruptions. He walked with the Father through life, and in walking with the Father, he was watching for where the Father was at work, and he responded to that, even if it looked like an interruption. On this occasion, this woman had heard of Yeshua, and she had begun to think through what it looked like for her to encounter him, this Messiah of Israel, and what would be involved if she was just able to touch him, that she would experience the healing that she had longed for. She had been in search of healing for 12 years. This is one of the profound mysteries of life with God, that you and I can go through experiences of difficulty and challenge and suffering, and God lets it go on and go on and go on. And there's great mystery in that. But I want to say that in the midst of that, whatever difficulty we might face, however long we might have been in that difficulty, don't ever stop trusting. Keep looking to God, because God will help. At some point in time, at the right time, God will help. God will intervene, and God will bring that healing touch that we need. Or God will give his power of healing as we touch him in faith. Yeshua responds to that touch of faith. When you and I come to the end of ourselves, and sometimes maybe that's why the waiting happens, is that you and I must come to the end of ourselves. That we must realize that there is no hope outside of God. That we cannot rely on the arm of flesh. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Yeshua feels the touch of faith, and Yeshua responds to that touch of faith, and power goes out of him, and this woman is instantly healed. She's tried all the doctors. She's done all she knows to do. She spent all her resources, and she comes in faith. And in this moment, after 12 long years, she is healed. Now imagine what that was like for her, because this issue of blood had made her unclean. So that meant that she couldn't go to the temple and worship. That meant that people couldn't touch her without also becoming unclean. That meant she was socially isolated. And suddenly, her body was healed, and she was free to worship and free to be involved in community again. Yeshua healed her, the whole package deal. And then, to make sure that she understood the root of her healing, he said, "Who touched me?" And he began to look in the crowd, and he pinpointed her. And she was afraid. A woman in that culture did not have the same rights and privileges that women do today. The gospel has made an incredible difference for women. And Yeshua wanted to restore her to the community as well. And so fear and trembling gripped her, but knowing what had happened, she came and fell down before him and told him the whole story. And then he focuses on, I think it's the only time that he calls someone this, he says, "Daughter, daughter, your faith has made you well." Make no mistake about it. It wasn't some sort of a magic thing that happened. It wasn't my clothes. It was me. It was your faith in me that made the difference here. Faith is not so powerful. Faith's object is what makes all the difference. When you and I place just a little faith in the right place, it makes all the difference. She had placed her faith in Yeshua, and she had received this glorious healing. And Yeshua helps her understand it was faith in me that made the difference. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction, and be healed in all of your relationships and all of life. She realized that God is ultimately approachable. You see, when we touch God with our uncleanness, it doesn't make him unclean. It makes us clean. Isn't that amazing? That's a glorious reality that Yeshua took on himself all of our gunk, our sin, and he transferred to us all of his righteousness by faith. The glorious transaction. And on this occasion, Yeshua was not made unclean. The woman was made whole. And so, while this is happening, Jairus, can you imagine Jairus sitting back in the corner here watching all this happen? What is transpiring in his mind, do you think? What's going on? Is he kind of, "Come on, Jesus, come on. Come on, Yeshua. You know, my daughter, she's sick here." And then suddenly in verse 35, while Yeshua was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Can you imagine in that moment the collapse in his inner being? Oh no, she's gone. But then, verse 36, as soon as Yeshua heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." What precious words. Words packed with hope and anticipation. He doesn't say what he's going to do. He just indicates that there is a certain good outcome coming, and you can trust me. Keep on believing. Only believe. All you need to do is believe in me. Trust me. Don't be afraid. And then he goes, he says, in verse 37, he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And of course, we know the child was dead, but from Yeshua's point of view, death is sleep when he's in charge, when he's present. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, that's Peter, James, and John, and entered where the child was lying. And then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. And he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Do you see Yeshua, our glorious Messiah, how compassionate and tender and gentle he is? He doesn't want to make a big scene. He wants this to be the quiet thing that it is, genuine healing, quiet with the family, with his most trusted followers, his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Not a big scene, but quiet. And he speaks to her tenderly, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And he takes her by the hand. The touch of the Master. The word of authority and power of the Master. And that little girl who is dead is alive. And Jairus, in that moment, realizes why Yeshua said, "Don't be afraid." And he realizes that Yeshua is not just able to heal. Yeshua is able to raise from the dead. You see this beautiful picture, these accounts of our Messiah? Our Messiah is more powerful than all the storms of life, all the circumstances we face. Our Messiah is stronger than all the evil spirits that are out there. And in him is safety and protection and well-being and wholeness. Our Messiah is stronger than any disease or debilitating experience that you could have in our bodies or in our hearts. Our Messiah brings healing and restoration to the family, to the community, to himself, to life. And our Messiah is the conqueror of death. Death, the scripture says, is that last enemy that Messiah will conquer. This is our Messiah. This is the kingdom that he's bringing in, the kingdom of life and wholeness and rescue and community. This is the kingdom that we celebrate that is coming. The millennial reign that we celebrate at Sukkot. That's what we look forward to. The full ingathering of all the people of God and the establishing of Yeshua's kingdom on earth. That's what we pray for. That's what Yeshua taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeshua helps us. He helps us to look beyond this life, that we don't fix our attention on the things that are visible. We don't fix our attention on what we can see. We don't fix our attention on these light and momentary troubles we may go through. But rather, we fix our attention on our permanent home, on him on the throne, that he is our Messiah, and that he will rescue us, that he will give us shalom, that one day he will come, and we will enjoy celebration with him forever and ever. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank you for sending Yeshua. Thank you for showing us that you do know all about us, that you know every aspect of our being, our physical needs, our personality needs, our social needs, our spiritual needs. You know all about us. You know what we think and feel, what we're worried about, what we're afraid of, what we're concerned about, what we hope for, what we dream for. You know what we need when we're confused, when we're upset, when we're hurt. You know. And we thank you that you care, that you are concerned, that you are so concerned that you have come, that you have tabernacled among us, and that you have brought us to the place where we would trust you, trust the Messiah, Yeshua, for our salvation and for life. And we thank you that you keep coming to us in our time of need, and you keep touching us with gentleness, with kindness, with tender mercies, to bring us healing and rescue and hope. And we thank you that you are able to make a difference, that all power and all authority in heaven and on earth is yours, and that Yeshua, this very moment, you have been raised to the right hand of the Father, that your name is above every name. And today we declare what we will declare through all eternity, at the name of Yeshua, that we will bow and declare that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we thank you for your power, that it is a holy power, a love power, a power that makes all the difference and conquers every enemy we have, every difficulty, every challenge, every trial we have in this world, that with you, all things are possible. So we thank you that you are this great and glorious God, and that Yeshua, you are our great and glorious Messiah. As we have looked at this, Father, stimulate in us an ever-deepening faith, ever-deepening confidence in you, that you will help us, and that you will make a difference in us, and that as you do that, you will help us to share your love in this fallen world, that others might come to find life in you. Help us now as we celebrate, and as we continue to enjoy you, and as we look forward to the soon return of our great Messiah, Yeshua, in whose name we pray. Amen.